Well, we've been talking about the church over the last few Sundays, and two Sundays ago, we started with talking about becoming a Christian. What does it mean to become a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ? We saw that the gospel, the good news, creates a new person by God's power. And then last Sunday, we saw that baptism is where that new person publicly identifies with the gospel, with following, with the truth about Jesus, and commits to following Jesus. And then, if you remember this passage we looked at in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 41, where we read, those who accepted his message, talking about the Apostle Peter, those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day, about 3,000 people were added to them. And so, you see this progression. We're going in a certain order, if you haven't noticed already. And here we see, right in this verse, we see that there's accepting the message, the good news of Jesus Christ, and then there's baptism, which we just saw, this picture of what happens to a person when they repent and trust in Christ. And then we see this third step, that these people who were baptized were added to the church. They joined the church, and that's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about church membership. And some of you, after watching a baptism, you're like, man, that was amazing, and now we're going to talk about church membership. That almost seems like kind of a letdown, right? I mean, church membership, probably not the most invigorating kind of subject to talk about in the Christian life, and yet it's important that we see this progression of how a person begins to follow Jesus and continues to follow Jesus, and that includes following Jesus together with others in community who believe in Jesus. So there's believing the gospel, and then there's identifying with the gospel and joining a gospel community, and that's church membership. Okay, quick question, survey. How many of you have a CAA membership? Put up your hand if you have. I used mine this morning, locked my keys in the van when it was running, totally stressed out. Okay, I'm so glad I am a member of CAA this morning. Okay, how many of you now, it's January, how many of you have a gym membership? Put up your hand if you have a gym membership. A few of you have a gym membership. Maybe you don't go to the gym, but at least you have a gym membership, right? Now, how many of you have a Costco membership? Come on, okay, we've got like most of us here are members at that glorious institution of Costco. All right, now, how many of you are members of this church? Put up your hand. You're members of this church. Okay, lots of you are members of Rowandale Baptist Church. That's the membership that we're talking about this morning, and that's the membership that most of us actually understand the least. Why do we do this thing called church membership? What is it all about? Some of you may immediately kind of want to just shut off as you hear that the sermon is about that, because that's just kind of, you're kind of allergic to the whole subject of church membership. Others of you may just think it's irrelevant. You know, it's kind of like a carryover from the 1950s. It's this, you know, some dusty old name of or list of names in a binder and some tucked away in some filing cabinet in a church basement. But what does it actually have to do with following Jesus and being his disciple and reaching the lost? Others of you, you may think that church membership is much more useful than that. Some of you might think, well, church membership is good because it means that I get to have a say in meetings. I get to vote. For others, maybe church seems like a kind of a social club, and other people become members, and that's kind of how you get into the social club, or maybe it's one of the hoops that you had to jump through to get a trailer at Camp Nudimick. Okay, if that's, oh, heard someone laugh right here. Okay, so maybe it's one of those things that you need to kind of move forward with your personal interests. Maybe it's because you want to serve in the church, and you know that becoming a member will enable you to serve in ways that you couldn't if you were not a church member. My goal is really simple today. I want to change your mind about the meaning and importance of church membership. For those of you who think it's not important, my goal is to have you leaving just thinking it's a little bit more important than you thought it was when you came in, or maybe a lot more important than you thought it was when you came in. For those of you who are already members of Rowandale, which is, as I saw you put up your hands, most of you, I want you to think more deeply after today about your church membership and think more deeply about what it means for your relationship with others in the church. So briefly, we're going to look at what it is, why it matters according to the Bible, and what it means for us. So here's what it looks like practically at the most basic level. People identify with Jesus through baptism. They join the church. To join the church, you have to affirm our statement of beliefs, what we believe together, and you have to agree to our church covenant. That's how we agree to live together as a church. And so you fill out an application, you get interviewed. Some of you are in this process right now. We're planning to receive 3 new members next Sunday. And so what happens is you get recommended by the church council, then you come up here, you share briefly how you came to know Christ, and then we receive you into church membership. And your name ends up on a list of members. And so now you get to come to business meetings. We hope you come to business meetings, and we hope that you're part of the decision-making process of the church. So that's a little snapshot of church membership, as most of us understand it. But it's so much more than that. So what is it? Well, essentially, it's a commitment. It's a formal commitment to a local community of believers. So last Sunday, we saw how baptism is where your faith goes public. In church membership, it's where your faith goes local. It's where a believer who belongs to the universal, invisible church, that's all believers throughout time, God sees them, knows his sheep, all over who are part of his universal church. It's where somebody who belongs to the universal church, the invisible universal church, becomes part of a visible local church. Okay? It's where that membership in the universal church gets really practical in the local church. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's where the idea of loving other Christians is actually played out, right? It's where you actually have to put up with Bill's morning breath and Edna's out of tune singing and Tina's semi-insulting comment. If anyone by those names, I'm not singling you out. Some of you, you know what it is to become a member of a church. It's reality, because you're part of a community of redeemed sinners, imperfect as you are, who you love and they love you, and yet you annoy them and they annoy you, and that's part of being part of a church family. Now, some of you want to stop me right there and say, hey, wait, I'm not a member of the church and I put up with all that stuff, right? I have to deal with all of those same things. In fact, the fact is there are non-members who are really committed to the church, and I just want to recognize that. Some of you are not members for various reasons, but you've been attending here for years, giving financially, you've been serving, encouraging others, in some ways even putting our own members to shame in your commitment to the church. But the difference is that church membership is where that commitment becomes formal, right? Kind of like officially the difference between, you know, getting to know someone and maybe, you know, you're dating someone of the opposite sex and just kind of seeing how things go. The difference between that and like, hey, now we're serious, now we're committed. Now, church membership's not like marriage. So I can't say, I mean, we do have a covenant, but it's not till death do us part, right? Okay, so once you become a member here, it's not like a lifetime commitment, but it is the commitment of saying, well, I'm here until further notice, I'm committed to this church. And that's where commitment becomes formal. And that when we say words like formal commitment, I mean, a lot of us, that sounds stuffy, right? That sounds like the Christian life should be about the heart and about my passions and not about formal commitment. But what you've got to understand is that it's in formal commitment that relationships really flourish. That we know this in our lives, that commitment is like the soil in which a relationship can grow. Here's a definition of church membership. It's a little bit long, it's a little bit clunky, but I think it's really good, by Jonathan Lehman in his book on church membership, and he says this. Church membership is a formal relationship between a church and a Christian, characterized by the church's affirmation and oversight of a Christian's discipleship and the Christian's submission to living out his or her discipleship in the care of the church. There's a lot in that statement, but here's what essentially what it is. When someone becomes a church member, he or she is saying, I am committing to take responsibility for this church, and I want this church to take responsibility for me. It's a relationship of commitment and responsibility. We live in a culture, we're kind of swimming against the stream of culture even as we talk about these things, because the world we live in tells us that happiness is not found in commitment. The world tells us that happiness is freedom from commitment. Happiness is having all my options open. It's not having to commit. And in the same way, we think that happiness is not found in responsibility, but freedom from responsibility. That's why a lot of people want to win the lottery, right? Therefore, I don't have to be responsible for a job and for all these other things. I can just live my life how I want. I can go wherever I want, do whatever I want. But consider for a sec that commitment and responsibility, without those things, what kind of relationships would we have? What kind of marriages do we have? What kind of families do we have? What kind of workplaces do we have without commitment and responsibility? Those are words that define our relationships. They shape the way that we relate to others in all areas of life, and they shape our love for God and our love for other Christians. This is where we so often get it wrong in the way we think about love. The world says that love is really about the feelings that I have. And yet the Bible tells us that love is really about the commitments that I make. The world says, you know, whatever love is, whatever I make it to be, because love is God. But the Bible says, no, love is whatever God makes it to be, because God is love. The world says that true love is a matter of my own individual, personal expression. And the Bible says that love is a matter of self-denial. This is what Jesus said in the Gospel of John. He said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. Church membership really is that, laying down your life in micro, in miniature format. It's saying, you know what? I'm not living for my own individual autonomy anymore. I'm committed to living out my faith for the good of others. I'm going to be part of this community of people. I'm going to put up with Bill and Edna and Tina, because we are fellow believers in Jesus, and I want to work with them, and I want to live with them, and I want to love them and serve God with them. That's what church membership is all about. Now, to be clear, there is no verse in the Bible. There is no verse in the Bible that tells you, thou shalt become a member of a local church. You won't find it. But you also won't find the word Trinity in the Bible. And yet, the Trinity is a central article of our faith. Why is that? Well, because even though the word Trinity is not in the Bible, the concept of our triune God is found throughout all of Scripture. And I'm not going to put church membership with the Trinity, okay? Church membership is down here. Like, you don't have to believe in church membership to be a Christian. You need to believe in the Trinity to be a Christian. And so I'm not going to put those in the same category, but I'm going to say that not everything, you know, things that are not essential are still often really important for our Christian lives. And church membership is something that we see in Scripture. It's a good and necessary consequence of what we find in the Bible. So, big picture, as you look through the storyline of Scripture, you see that God has this purpose of gathering a people. He's gathering a distinct people that he has redeemed and made a covenant with, so that these people will worship him and serve him and bring glory to him and bring good to the world. So God has always made this distinction between those who are his people and those who aren't, right? We see this clear line right from the beginning between Cain and Abel, right? Between Esau and Jacob, between unclean and clean, between the wicked and the righteous, between the way of foolishness and the way of wisdom, the children of the devil and the children of God, the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of righteousness. And we see these two things, we see this line, this distinction, God saying, I want to be clear who my people are, because they're to reflect my character in the world. My people are supposed to show the world what kind of a God I am. It's so important that we see God's desire to have a distinct people who serve and worship him. Now, don't get me wrong, church membership doesn't make you a Christian. That happens through faith in Christ alone. But church membership is a way that the church points to people and says, Christians, these are people who are meant to represent Jesus in the world. Look at Luke chapter 2, 41, the verse that we looked at before. Who are the ones who are added to the church? It's those who accepted the message and believed it and were baptized. You had to believe and be baptized in order to join the church to be publicly identified with Jesus. Now, I'm going to give you five biblical reasons why membership matters. Okay, hopefully you have some space left by now in the back of your bulletin. But these are five reasons that we really need church membership to be healthy and to follow Scripture. The first one is membership matters for identifying a local church. So church membership is the difference between a weekly crowd and a local church. In the New Testament, a church is not an undefined mass of Christians, but a defined gathering of Christians. And so Paul, in his instruction to the Christians at Corinth, he refers to the whole church coming together. So you can't speak of the whole church unless you have an idea of who the whole church is, right? A specific number of people. In many other places in the New Testament, a church is described as a specific group of people. In Acts chapter 6, verse 2, we read that Herod violently attacked some who belonged to the church, which implies that there are those who don't belong to the church. Back to Acts chapter 6, verse 2, we read that the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples. There's a number of disciples that are there. And in Acts 15, 22, we see that the apostles and elders with the whole church, they decided to send out some representatives to Antioch. And so whether or not the church had an actual list on parchment, we don't know, right? The Bible doesn't tell us that. But we do know that the early church kept a list of widows. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9. And so it makes sense that they probably would have a list of members. And at any rate, clearly they knew who they were. There was an understanding that the church is a number, a defined number of people who have believed, been baptized, and been added to the congregation. Here's the second reason that it matters for faithful shepherding. This is what Paul says to the elders of the church at Ephesus. He says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So you think of a flock, a shepherd has to know who the flock is, right? A responsible shepherd keeps track, numbers the sheep, even names them. This is why Jesus, when he tells the parable of a man who leaves his 99 sheep to look for the one sheep, that reflects what shepherds did in that ancient Near Eastern culture. And so membership is implied in those words of Paul, you know, to pay careful attention to the flock. How can you pay careful attention to the flock if you don't know who the flock is. Here's the third reason that it matters. It matters for leaders and followers. In the letter to the Hebrews, we read these words, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account." So membership is implied in the idea that there are leaders who are accountable for the souls of people, and that there are people who are accountable to submit to their leaders. So whose souls do the leaders need to give an account for? I mean, is it anyone who darkens the door of the church? Is it everyone who attends at any time? Now certainly a pastor is accountable. Like, we are accountable for every word we speak. We're accountable for the sermons we preach. We're accountable for the interactions that we have with a member or a non-member, and we have non-members that we welcome and we help and we spend time with. And yet if leaders are accountable for souls, then it only makes sense that they would know which souls those are. It's one of those verses that honestly keeps me up at night when I think about someday having to answer to God. I don't know what that looks like. It's not just leader, it's leaders, assuming there are multiple leaders in each church that are called to watch over the souls of people. This is a serious responsibility before God. And church membership at least gives us a sense that these are the people who have said, "This is my church, and I want to be pastored. I want to be cared for." Number four, membership matters for church discipline. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, "If your brother sins against you, go and rebuke him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he won't listen, take one or two others with you, so that by the testimony of two or three witnesses, every fact may be established. If he doesn't pay attention to them, tell the church. If he doesn't pay attention even to the church, let him be like a Gentile and a tax collector to you." So here's this problem, this person who keeps, you know, won't repent of his sin. And Jesus gives instructions to his followers for how to deal with that. And he says, tell it to the church. Well, there's no way we would even know who church is unless we could define that in some way and say that there are a specific group of people who are charged with this responsibility to deal with this problem in a way that Jesus has instructed for the purpose of seeing this person repent and come back to faith in Christ and obedience to Christ. It's necessary for church discipline. And finally, fifthly, it matters for showing Christ to the world. The passage that Pastor Ben read from 1 Corinthians 12. "Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it." And so Jesus, we know, is at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is not on earth. So where's the body of Christ? The body of Christ is in all believers who are on the earth right now. And that refers in some way to the universal church, to all those believers who are scattered all over the planet. But the body of Christ is also revealed in local churches together. Because there's no way you could live this out of this working together as a body without being attached together, being connected together. And so membership is like the sinews that hold the body together, so that by our commitment to each other, we can serve in harmony, in unity, we can love one another in such a way that the world sees something that they can't explain. Why do all these people spend time together of different races? And there are rich, there are not rich, educated, not educated, from all different kinds of backgrounds, old, young. And why are they all together in this group? Why do they love each other like this? We can't explain it. And the answer is, there is a God. And there is a Savior, and his name is Jesus, and he changes lives, and he brings people together to show the world who he is. That's what being the body of Christ is. It's representing Jesus, not just as individuals, but together in community with each other. I visited a church once and heard this story, and I think I may have mentioned it before, but there was a woman, an older member who was sick in the hospital, a member of this church, and she was, on a Friday night, visited by a bunch of younger men in the church. They showed up at the hospital to visit her. They showed up with a guitar, and they sang some songs and hymns that she recognized and spent time in her hospital room. And so the nurses and the staff are hearing this music, and they're peeking in, and they're saying, what's going on in this hospital room? And here's this elderly woman who's sick, and a bunch of young men on a Friday night are visiting this woman. What's going on? And, you know, is this woman, like, is she a relative of? No, she's not a relative. She's not no one's aunt, no one's grandma. Is she some kind of a celebrity? No, she's not a celebrity. So who is she? And they said, she's a member of our church. You see, that's the kind of love that we are to show to the world. The kind of love that doesn't make sense except for the grace of God in our lives, bringing us together under the lordship of Christ. So what does this mean for you? Well, if you're here today and you're not a believer in Jesus, the first thing you need to do is become a member of his family before you even become a member of this church. That is way more important. There's nothing more important than you understanding who Jesus is, that you are a sinner and Jesus is a savior, and that he came to die for sin and to rise again, and that if you'll come to him and call out to him, he will come into your life and change you by his grace, forgive you, and give you an entirely new purpose for living. That is the good news of Jesus Christ, and it's by trusting in Jesus that you become a member of God's family. If that's you, and you've trusted in Christ, and you haven't taken the step of baptism, then let's talk. And if you have been baptized, then the next step is to become a member of our church. We've got some membership applications on the table in the lobby. You can talk to me if you have any questions about what it means. If you're a member here at Rowandale, then I just want to thank you for the way that you have committed and the way that you encourage others and the way that you serve and the way that you love other members. And I want to encourage you to keep going. And I want to encourage you to go deeper. And I want to encourage you to take your membership commitment seriously, to attend regularly, to pray for leaders, to pray for other members, to get involved, to serve with the gifts that God has given you. That's what membership is all about. It's not names on a list. It's an actual relationship walking together in obedience to Christ. I'll close with this story. The other day, a member approached me, and he was concerned about a fellow church member who hasn't been here in a long time. And he said, you know, I just feel like I need to go visit her, and I think my wife and I are going to go along, and you know, do you want to come with us? And I said, you know what, the first thing to do is you go and visit that fellow member and just express your concern and your care. And then let me know how that goes. And I came away so encouraged, because that is the vision for meaningful membership. It's taking responsibility for others in the church spiritually. It's saying it's not just the pastor's job, it's not just the council member's job, but I am looking out for other people, and I want to know how they're doing with Jesus. And if they're not here, I'm going to call them. I'm not going to harass them. I'm not going to, you know, unnecessarily annoy them, but my brothers and sisters in Christ are my responsibility. And so I'm going to pray for them and lovingly pursue them, because I would want them to do the same for me. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. A meaningful kind of church membership, by God's grace, I believe we can do it here and live it out and bring glory to God, as we have been doing and will continue to do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that because of Jesus, we can be adopted into your family, your eternal family, as members, not because we earned it or deserved it, but because of what Christ earned by his death and resurrection. And we thank you for the privilege of being members of this church, and we pray that we would be able to live this out in such a way that brings good to others and brings glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.